Hello. Okay, so we are studying in the morning about the love for love's sake, no? And we are on page 14. I came to the conclusion that the bhakti, those people who feel extreme, spiritual growth also we have there. Now we start with Kapila's instruction. So, Bhagavata has wonderful such stories, inspirational things, which can ignite our inner spirituality, our inner feeling of dedication, and ultimately can help us to become selfless and totally intoxicated in God. So it talks in different levels. Now, we will read today now Kapila's instruction. And Kapila was who? That Swami talks about. I do not know, it is the same Kapila or what. Anyhow, in the third skandha, there is the story of an incarnation of the divine. And their God came as Kapila, who wanted to leave home and go to the forest. And the mother, Devahuti, said to Kapila, you can verify in the Google whether this Kapila is the Kapila Sankarkar or not. I think it is Devahuti, will be some different. Devahuti is the mother and Kapila is the son. And Devahuti said to Kapila, what did he say? My dear son, before you go, please give me some spiritual instructions. See? What a great India. A son is an illumined personality. Mother is not saying, stopping him to go to take a path of renunciation. At the same time asking, give me instruction so that I can be freed from all bondage. No?
It is the same sage.
Kapila is the same. Sankarkar. So thereupon, there is Kapila Sankarkar age. And did he say which era they are talking about Kapila's? Because Bhagavat, that will of course be fictitious, because Bhagavat is Krishna's time. And if the story is mentioned in the Bhagavat, it should have happened before that. And Krishna's period will be how? At least before Christ, 500 you go Buddha. Then before Buddha, you go to whom?
Krishna.
That's right. That's why it is Krishna.
So
that means it is before that. That means it should be before. Anyhow, that historical Indian is never focused on that side. That's why the Indian civilization always is said that it is only 2000 years BC, maximum maybe 3000. You can fight with that. But anyhow, time is immaterial there, but the principle is the point. And of course, time is now revealing differently. In the Gujarat, no? So what is called that? Somnath, Dwarka, and that excavation of Dwarka. What a new experiment it has come out. All the description in the Bhagavad you can match there. Krishna said that this land will be deluged, and then he said, okay, let you all, Arjuna, you take all of them from this place, vacate this place, it will be deluged with the ocean. And the description of the town and other thing now, the father of Professor Rao, she is a good friend of ours, she is initiated by Swami Sahananda. Her father is the archaeological head of this excavation team. And it is his relentless effort and that putting the military, what you call naval unit of the Indian military, they excavated that and found out all the artifacts and also the structure of the palace and other things have come out. That pushes the history much back now to the Western scholars. So now they are, have to go where, a little further you can go, maybe 1,000 years, 2,000 years, no? But anyhow, Because India was never conscious of those days and times. That's why it is. The truth is true. Anyhow, how developed was Krishna's palace and others, no? The drainage system and others. Could you believe in that time that in a city having a such perfect system of drainage system, water supply system and all these things? So it is a developed culture and city. Now, anyhow, that gentleman has passed away.
Gotcha.
And India government has given the highest price. That's why his daughter, Professor Rao, she has gone to Nolini Rao. She calls us now and then, and she was so happy that in her father's name, in the Prime Minister's office, they called a big meeting and honored the father for this beautiful work, which has brought out the Indian cultural heritage in the front of the world so tangibly. Anyhow, so that question came, he is asking. Thereupon, we find, what we find? The Kapila giving spiritual instructions to his mother. And therein we find the following three verses especially significant for our people today. You have to understand this, Swamiji has given the introduction, probably you have read it, that publishers prefers. These two lectures were given by Swami Ramanathanji. One was given in the Delhi Ramakrishna Mission and Sarada Mission in Delhi, and another was in the Institute of Culture. These two lectures were put together, compiled together, and this is the form of his talk. Then he edited a little bit, and then it came out in a book form. So it is not that he sat down and planned to write one, but out of his own extemporal thought, he produced this. So you get a glimpse of the whole Bhagavad. That is the main point. In this book, as you go forward, we need not have to read everything, but you can get what he has said, the theme of the entire Bhagavad is given here. What is that? Kapila's instruction. See what he is talking to the mother, eternal values of ancient India. What he said? The third chapter, 29, Skanda means chapter, subdivision of this chapter and the verse number. So like that. That's why three differences. So what is the important verse is, Kapila taught to mother, that aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma avasthita sada tam avagayamatyaha kurute archa virambanam. What a great philosophy has been given, that aham sarveshu bhuteshu, I, the Lord, sarveshu bhuteshu, in the heart of all, bhutatma avasthito, I am residing as the Atman in each heart. Sada, there I am all the time present. In the image you invoke God. That's why in the worship time, do you know how in Indian puja system goes on? When the image is brought, that is a material object. But when the pujari, in Durga Puja time, especially big pujas time, you find that they chant and invoke the divine in the image. And that's why they do the meditation, thinking here is the Lord, and feeling the presence of the Lord, tangible presence, and after meditation of his divine form in the heart, they bring the flower back and then breathe out, thinking the Lord, who is in me, the conscious entity, is coming out in a subtle form in the flower, and that they offer the flower at the deity. Touch that at the feet or in the body, meaning this consciousness, who is God in me, I am invoking, O Lord, you come out and take my worship. I offer you my worship. So then that point it becomes, it is called the prana pratishtha. You are establishing the prana. That's why they say, soham hamsa, soham hamsa paramahamsa, paramatma devata. Like that, they say, prana, your prana, and then my prana. That prana of the divine we established here. That means my body is no more my body. It is the body of Ramakrishna. It is the body of Krishna. Krishna, Bang manas chakshu sutra grana prana ihagato shukham chiram tishtantu swaha. You feel you are not a man or woman anymore. In your whole body, in bak, manaha, chakshuhu, srotra, all the indriyani, everywhere, it is the eyes, you are not eyes. It is the eye of Krishna. It is the eye, ear of the ear. So that is the principle of puja, to invoke the divine here. So then it becomes, to the worshipper, it becomes vibrant, visible. And that's why that divine you put outside and then you offer fruits, flowers, water, etc. That is the whole principle of puja. Even if you have observed any big puja like Kali Puja, Durga Puja, the pujari goes and with the same mudra, they touch the heart of the deity and say, this prana here, that the prana of that prana of the consciousness arise here. These eyes touching here, touching, there are mantras are there. Touching the head, touching the forehead, touching the ears, touching the ear, touching the chest, touching the hand. Everywhere you are feeling that it's become a conscious entity. And that's why it is, you have invoked that one. But here Kopila is teaching his mother that this inhuman body, it is that consciousness is already established. Sada. That's why the last line. Bhutatma avasthita sada. All the time, that Atman is established here. That's why you can see. You are talking, it is that consciousness is behind. Otherwise, it will be dead body. You cannot hear, you cannot see, you cannot feel, you cannot suffer. Nothing is possible. So, tam avagyayo, now the people are so full. They ignore avagya kara. In Bengali we call avagya. Hindi also avagya means you dishonor. You disrespect that. You don't care for that. Avagya. Avagya means he is there. I don't care. That's called avagya. So that tam avagyayo mang, that I am there. But what is the foolishness of this human being? They ignore me. They reject me. They disrespect me. Avagya. Avagya mang. And they go into the temple and into the deity, Kurute Archa. Archa means these are called Archa. The photos, the statues, these images, they are called Archa. So Archa Vidammanam. They are making a blasphemy of worship in the temple. See? Bhagavad is a bhakti book. Giving what concepts? That means bringing that God into your day-to-day life. God is not transcendental. God is immanent. So see in everyone that Lord's presence and worship and serve them. Then you are a better worshipper than in the temple. You go to the temple. Why people love to go to temple? Because whatever you give, he does not say, yes, I like or dislike. whether you give it, that's also it's okay. Don't give, it's also okay. And you may think, I have offered this, I have offered that. He does not talk. But in a human being, if you give to him, if you don't give one thing, he says, hey, I want this. There is our problem. But you have to see who is saying that in this person. That consciousness. So it is always there. Respect that. Worship that. See? This is a great message. Mriter upasana hoite tomader jibonter upasanay aahvan koriteci. Swamiji's powerful speech. I am calling you to worship. The jibanta in the life, in the vibrant life, from the worship of the dead. Dead worship in the temple. Dead worship in the near altar. He does not talk anything. You give today fruit. That's also okay. You forgot to give fruit. It's also okay. You give a dhup, incense. That's also okay. You didn't give. That's also okay. So he does not say anything. But you cannot do the same thing to your son or daughter or husband or wife. So, but here is more palpable manifestation of that consciousness. You worship there. Try to worship God there. Rather, ignoring that, you go to the temple and do the worship. It is just a blasphemy. Who can say that? What religion can teach you? Huh? This it is contradictory to dualistic worship as it were. No, not that. Saying you do worship, you will feel more palpably if you can start seeing the divine here. So, Swamiji just translated it. I am always present in all beings as their very self, the capital S. Insulting me, abhagnaya, insulting me there, you don't respect me there. When I am in human body, when I am hungry, when I am thirsty, when I want food, when I want little care, attention, you don't care for that. You say, I am going to the temple. So that's why insulting me, me is capital. If people worship me only in images, that is the point. He's not saying don't do worship in the images. But you are great, you think you are a great worshipper because you go to the temple and say some Sanskrit mantra, nobody understands, you also don't understand. And you think you are a great spiritual person because you have chanted so much big mantras. And that's why nobody says the Sanskrit very clearly. No. So that you do whatever you say, ong, mong, 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 mong. But what actually, that's why we want to speak the word, understand the word, that is called reading of the Sanskrit. But it is not necessary. In Bengal, at least Brahmins do like that. Not all, but they will have to do so many pujas. What they do? And you see, whole pujari is done, entire pujari, and the puja, those whose house is puja, they'll be chattering, chattering, chattering of all the worldly talks and this and that, and puja will be going mum, 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 mum. So where is puja? Where is God there? Rather, you worship the God in human being, because I am residing in the heart of all. What a philosophy, you know? Me there, if people worship me only in the images, such worship is only an empty show. It's just, you can show outside that you are a great spiritual person, no? Aham uccha vachair dabbaihi kriyaya yutpannaya naghi naiva tusyer chitar chayam bhuta grama bamanina. So, I am not at all pleased. Oh, sinless one, is talking to mother, you are very pure. By being worshipped in an image, I am not at all pleased by being worshipped in the image, accompanied by various high items of rituals and worship, by those who insult me in the various living beings. Downfall of India came there when we told you are outcast, you are low caste, you cannot touch these, you cannot enter here, no? And I am going to temple, I am pure, I have taken holy deep, you are mlecha, you are standing in my way. Get out, your shadow falls in me, you will be punished. That way we insulted God. So what a departure from the our Vedic teaching. That you respect. There is no distinction between me and a cobbler or a sweeper. He is expert in his own field. You ask me to do the polishing, Swamiji explained. He cannot shine the shoes so perfectly as a shoe shiner does it. You may be a good lecturer in your field. He cannot lecture. You cannot do his job. You can be a good cook. You are great in your place. But someone may be good in that place. So, why you should say that because he does something, work of a menial type, it is low and you are very high. And that is the way Indian society disturbed the whole caste system. It was a perfect system. It was a very wonderful system to run a wonderfully balanced society where equally brain will be working, equally physical energy will be working for the protection of the innocent. Business will flourish there, and also men of labor will build civilization. Perfect blending, respecting everyone, as is in this country. Still in this country, there are the distinctions. Though we say it is, we have no. Even blacks are even today, they have their discrimination. You go, millionaire will, you will not be able to dine with millionaire. And when billionaire gives a party, millionaires cannot enter there. It's true or not?
That is true.
And the one plate will be $1,000 plate, no? And when hungry people in the street and go to Los Angeles and other big cities, there's homeless people try to grab some food from the garbage bin. So this is called the avagyo mam, ignoring the divine me who resides in the heart of all. And who goes only into the shrine, and they're going to the church, or going to the mosque, or going to anything. That is a blasphemy. So I am not at all pleased. It should be taught to the people who really looks at the world in a different perspective. That spirituality is in going to temple, uttering some mantras. These are not bad, but if you think that is the spirituality and your life and character does not improve to respect others, what respect? Not ordinary respect, to worship, respect, honor them as a veritable form of God. It's also another form of God. So worship they are more. That's why Swamiji said, Bahurupe Shammukhe Tumar, giving up God in so many forms. Where are you going to search for God in temples? And now, Atamang Sarvabhuteshu. Next verse. Atamang Sarvabhuteshu Bhutatmanam Kritarayam Arhai Dano Manabhyam Maitra Abhinna Chakshusha. Maitri means the friendship. Abhinna, you and me are same. As I feel hungry, I need food. You feel hungry, you need food. If I have, I should have to give you. In my room, when I feel hungry, do I not go to the fridge and take the food and eat? So similarly, if someone is hungry, he has the right, and you should have to serve, because there is not me and he but the same one. One consciousness, one divine. So this whole world can change. That's the ancient civilization of India. It was so great. And Otithi never returned from a home. Guest in India was never turned back. If you have no food, you share your food to the guest. There are so many stories, no? When the last food, they were just going to that. No. Story of the squirrels. Mongoose. So they gave up their life for only serving others, even they died. So Athamang Sarvabhuteshu, therefore, Mang Sarvabhuteshu, in all individual beings, Bhuto Atmanam, and the Atman of the Bhutas, Krito Arayam, I have taken abode and sit in the heart. Or hayet dhanumanabhyam. So give honor. Dhanu means gift. Manu means samman. Don't give like a beggar, get 5 cents and get away. As I was telling this story of Bhuteshananda Maharaj, that man gets some 1 rupee or something maybe, but how he get? Throw away. The beggar has come begging here, okay. And make him wait for 2 hours, 2 days to give $1 or 1 rupee. Don't do like that. You want to serve anyone? Give with dignity. Give with honor. That's why Swamiji said, let the giver kneel down and say, oh, please, sir, take this offering. And the receiver receiveth and bless. Receiver will say, God bless you. And you should be so humble because you are worshipping God in that person who is hungry, who is needy. And even in every field, education, illiterate, you give some education with that humility. You give some money, give some food, give some shelter, give some clothing, whatever you give, give with humility. Because you are serving God. You get a chance to serve God. Therefore, therefore, archayat means, archayat or worship me in all being, for I am the one self in all and have already made a temple for me in them. So I have made a temple in them. Through, how do you do that? Through dana, by removal of their felt wants, material wants. Dana means give some gifts in such what is necessary. Mana, to respect to the ones you serve. And also maitraya, to the attitude of maitra means friendship, friendliness. And abhinnena chakshusa. Chakshusa in a sight. You should have a vision that is equal with me. Hey, give little cool, little more, 1 degree, 2 degrees. Is it not? Well, I thought when I entered, I thought it is so cold. Now we got accustomed, so it is hot. Thus, the 29th chapter of the third skandha, we come across a remarkable exposition of the truest spiritual life. However, one great idea that is thrust again and again upon the readers is God is to be worshipped not only in a temple, not only in the image, but also in the hearts of all. Why heart? Because God dwells in the hearts of all. We forgot this beautiful idea in India for the last 1,000 years. We neglected the human situation. There were, of course, worshippers of images in the temples all the time. But as we neglected the human beings, we became slaves of foreign conquerors for centuries together. But here Kapila is saying, Aham Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhutatma Avasthito Sada. I am there in the hearts of all beings as their self. Tam Avagayamam Martya Kurutya Archavirambanam. Yet some people ignore and insult me there and worship only the images. What a foolish idea is it? Therefore, he said, Naivo Tasya Archayat Archam Bhutagramam. Mother, I am not at all pleased with the pujas and offerings of people who spend vast sums of money on rituals and ceremonies and ignore and insult me in all human beings. I do not accept their worship at all. In the puja time, you see so many saris come in Belur Mosque. Each one brings some offering to Mother Durga. And now, in the pile of sari, they try to see what is her sari. No. And I have given 500 rupees sari. Someone says, I have given 1,000 rupees sari. You know, you'll be surprised how things are changing. You know, one gentleman brought a sari for Mother Sharada. Mother Sarada lived in such poverty. In her lifetime, she didn't get one second cloth. So it was so torn after Ramakrishna's death. She was tying here a knot and here and another knot. And it is breaking in here and breaking there. And now one devotee, a big philosophy. Mother does not need anything, but I am a devotee. I want to give a good sari. And what is that sari cost? 190,000. Do you know that one sari is available 90,000 rupees in Indian currency? My God! And the people are hungry. $90,000 and mother will be happy. This is the question. If Mother Sarada was there, will Sarada be happy to give that sari for her? And in the village, you see so many people are hungry, so many people are homeless, no? So the question is that people forget. You can show your pomp and pride that I have given this shari 90,000 and tell 100,000 people how big devotee I am. You know, you give how much? $100, 100 rupees, 200 rupees. So my bhakti is high, is it not? Is it high your bhakti or your rajas quality to show how you are rich person and how you can give it? Sad. See, this is the same thing. What Ramakrishna would have done? Ramakrishna couldn't move to Tirtha, holy pilgrimage. He said, Mathur, now I am not moving from here unless you feed them. He said, Baba, where shall I get so much money? So many people. Well, no, you have to feed them. You have to give them 5 rupees. Or in those days, 5 rupees is a big amount, no? And a fresh cloth and hair oil and good food. And then, or 1 rupee, whatever. Even 1 rupee was not an easy thing. The Thakur's monthly salary was 7 rupees. So 30 days salary, 24 hour duty is only 7 rupees. So 1 rupee is how many days service? And Brahmini duty is not ordinary duty. Anyhow, I am saying that was the society's condition. But Thakur could not move, seeing the suffering of people, no? When you really reach internally, spiritually, your love will flow for the suffering people. That's why Swamiji could not sleep all night. So we have neglected the teaching for scores of centuries, although we have been studying the Bhagavatam, we have not understood the spirit behind it. And finally, Kapila says in the 27th verse, what he says, Archayat means Archana or Archana Sarva Bhutesu. You should worship me in all beings because Bhutatmanam, I am in their self. Kritalayam, I have already built a temple in their body. Archayat, so worship me. But how to worship God in man? Do you have to stop a man on the street and say, wait, I want to worship you? No, that is not the way. Then you to worship God in man, first by dana, remove the want, whatever is his need. If a hungry person, you bring one book for him to study. It's a dana. It's not proper dana. Gita says, that dana is proper, what is needed for that person at that point of time. So, one is spiritually hungry, then you give him a beautiful meal. Will he be happy there? So that means you have to give something, what is the need of that person. Dana should be proportionate to that desire in the heart. So, first dana, remove the wants of the needy if you can. If they are ignorant, give them education. If they are poor, give them some money or the things they need, clothing. When flood comes, you go and teach them Vedanta, Brahma. Or you give them cooked food, khichdi. Even khichdi, because they have not eaten 2-3 days. Give some glass of water. There's all saline water they cannot drink. Supply some drinking water. So this is the question. If you respect the person, you should serve whatever he needs. So, if they have no peace, give them peace. If you have the power to give, no? This is dana. And when you give anything, do not be proud or arrogant. Give with mana. Give with respect. So now two significant words. Here, somebody has taken it here. This talking about the separateness should not be there. Abhinnena chakshusa, that is one point. You have to serve with the equanimity in vision that it is the same who is here in me. The same Lord is there in me. So your respect and love, this type of equanimity in vision, that should be the background of your service. So Alasingha Perumal Swamiji wrote a letter on page 19 in the middle. See, no religion on earth preaches the dignity of humanity in such a lofty strain as Hinduism. And no religion on earth trades upon the necks of the poor and the low in such a fashion as Hinduism did it. No? It has given the highest dignity at the same time worst of the torture. The great ideas of the values of the verses, which you have read already, 24 to 27, is formed by the central theme of Vivekananda's philosophy of service. What is this Ramakrishna mission? Atmana Mukti, Jagat Hita, no? And he asked modern India to adopt this type of service as the best for the true religion and the inter-human relationship in place of the erstwhile practices of proliferating temple ritualism and human exploitation or neglect. Human exploitation, tremendous human exploitation in the name of religion. You cannot enter, you are a low caste man, you cannot enter into the temple, certain temple is forbidden for you. So this is the dishonor, disrespect of the God, Lord himself, because the same Lord is in that person who is going with dignity and respect and love. How the people treat in big temples, you will see. The ordinary person with the shabby dress, taking some little offering, and how he is ignored. And when he is going a gorgeous dress with gorgeous money, and this Purohit is just taking himself, come, give 1,000, then you get the first line and cross everybody and push them out. So it happens everywhere. So that is the what you are doing. People don't understand. And that is to be not taken into his true spiritual person's life. So Swamiji in Chennai, on the future of India, that's why he has said this beautiful words which is written in the bottom of the page, is a big one, but we'll write and read a few lines. So give up being a slave for the next 50 years. This alone shall be your keynote. This our great mother India, let other vain gods disappear for time from our minds. This is the only God that is away. Our own race, everywhere is hand, everywhere is feet, everywhere is ears. He covers everything. All other gods are sleeping. What vain gods shall we go after? Yet cannot worship the God that we see all around us, the Virat. When we have worshipped this, we shall be able to worship all other gods. Before, we can crawl half a mile. We want to cross the ocean like a Hanuman. It cannot be everyone going to be a yogi, everyone going to meditate. It cannot be the whole day mixing with the world, with karma kanda, and in the evening sitting down and blowing through your nose. Is it so easy? Should rishis come flying through the air? Because you have blown three times the tubes. Is it a joke? It is all nonsense. What is needed in Chitta Shuddhi, that is the purification of the heart? And how does that come? First of all, worship is the worship of the Virata, of those all around us. Worship it. Worship is the exact equivalent of the Sanskrit word, and no other English word will do it. These are our gods, men and animals. And the first God we have to worship are our countrymen. These we have to worship instead of being jealous of each other and fighting each other. It is the most terrible karma for which we are suffering, and yet it does not open our eyes. So he's talking about Sar. The whole country has so much potentiality, and they are always fighting with each other because of jealousy and power, power politics, no? And so Swamiji, that's why, exhorted these people, no other English word he has used excepting what is called the worship. So, therefore, go to the page 22. That idea developed later on through the Gita, then through the Bhagavatam and many other sacred books. And today Sri Ramakrishna and Vivekananda have added new dimension to this concept by preaching the worship of God through service to man. That idea is to be found in this third skanda of the Bhagavatam. Now, that is the point. Now, how we can be practical, how we can be spiritual in day-to-day life. Not only in the shrine, yes, you do meditate. Yes, you do worship. But also try to worship the same Lord in human being with dignity and with proper dana, who needs what? Give that. At the point of his just need. Now the story of the Dhruva, you know the story of the Dhruva. So, the touching story of the Dhruva in the 18th chapter of the 4th book. And the Dhruva story, you know, he was born from the same king and two mothers. One was Suruchi and another was Kota?
Suniti.
She was favorite, Suruchi, she was his favorite wife. So naturally her son Uttama was very dear to him. And then the other boy is Dhruva. And notice that his father was fondling his brother Uttama, who was sitting on his lap. So he too went to sit on the lap of his father, and Suruchi saw this and got angry. She reproached Dhruva, saying that he had no right to sit on the lap of the father. Were you born on my womb, then only he could sit on your father's lap. Dhruva was very upset and he went to his mother Suniti and started crying. Suniti said, what can I do, my son? I am really helpless. Pray to God. He is the only true refuge and friend of the helpless. Only he can help us. So in that type of prayer, see, Dhruva then, a child of 5, went into the forest to meditate on Lord Hari, and who first tried to dissuade him from risky venture and advised him to return. Narada told him, you are a Kshatriya boy. Why are you here? It is disgrace for you to be here. However, Dhruva was firm and he said he must go to worship the divine. At this, Narada was impressed by the child's determination and his bold Kshatriya spirit. He blessed the child with divine mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and gave him instructions on how to meditate. And then Dhruva meditated on God as instructed. After 6 months of meditation and hard life, the indwelling God of all who appeared before Dhruva, and who, however, was experiencing him in his heart, with his eyes still closed, he was seeing the Lord within, but the Lord was already standing in front of him. What did the Lord do? He disappeared from his heart. As soon as he disappeared from his heart, Dhruva opened his eyes and saw with the immense joy the smiling and blissful Lord in front. See, he was inside, but he came out in the front, appeared, but he was so absorbed inside, he's ignoring the outside. And then the Lord had to come out of the heart. So he found it is not yet open the eyes and saw the Lord in the front. The boy wanted to praise him, but he was a mere child of 5. In spite of all efforts, he could not express his joyous feeling of devotion in word. He had no command of our language and did not know how to praise the Lord. He only stood with folded hands. Seeing this predicament of his devotees, the Lord touched Dhruva's cheeks with his divine instrument, the conch, the symbol of knowledge. That's called Brahma Mayena Kumbhena. Kumbuna. Conch says these verses. What she said? That is the verse from Bivakshantavacha. What is the translation? Translation says Dhruva was standing in front of Hari with folded hands and struggling to burst out in a hymn of praise, but he was not knowing how to do it. Hari, ever residing in the hearts of all, knowing the problem being faced by the child, out of compassion, touched the cheek of the child, which is Brahma Maya Kanch. And what happened then? Next verse. The one who was to achieve in future an immutable statue, that Dhruva, by the touch of the conch, became filled with divine knowledge of the nature of Brahman and Jiva, and began to sing fearlessly and filled with devotion the hymn of praise of the highest and world's famous Hari. So, what he said? Then this is the Dhruva said. O thou all-powerful one, you alone entering my mind and through your energy have enlivened my sleeping speech power and also given power to my hands, feet, ears, skin and other sense organs and bio energies. I salute you, O blessed self of all. So the Bhagavatam says, but he says, Hari, out of grace, just touch his cheeks with his conch shell, Brahma Maya, the symbol of knowledge. Immediately the tremendous knowledge flashed in Dhruva's mind and he started praising the Lord wonderfully. So what we know as the pole star, which is stationary, is associated with his name of the boy. It's called Dhruva Nakshatra. So it is, the name is Dhruva. Therefore we call in Dhruva Nakshatra. The Lord gave Dhruva the highest station of Dhruva Nakshatra. That means people call, remembering him, God gave the name. So what we learn out of this means, that means your sincerity, your utmost, even you are incapable, a boy of five, no? With a zeal, depending what mother said, call upon Hari and he will remove your suffering, no? So that much faith, that much trust, that much dedication, and then you see the vision of the Lord comes. And by his grace, what is impossible becomes possible. And now, next chapter starts with this idea that it is called the superiority of human life. The theme of innate human greatness is expounded again and again in the Upanishad, no? That you are divine, you are pure, you are divine, you are birthless, you are deathless. That is again and again given in the Upanishads, in the Srimad Bhagavat and the Buddha's teaching. The human being has a profound divine potential within him or her, which can be realized in this very body, in this very life. The development of the spiritual path of Jnana Bhakti, providing for spiritual realization here and now, made for the devaluation of all postmodern heaven theologies in India. In this fifth skanda of the Bhagavatam, we find the famous sloka which declares it a privilege to be born in Bharatavarsha, and this truth is openly proclaimed by even gods and goddesses in heaven. They just sing, by the gods and goddesses sing, Eta Deva Hi Deva Gayanti. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, no? What is that? Aho Amishan Kimakari Shobhanam Prasanna Eshan Sri Dut Swayam Hari Jair Janma Labdham Nishu Bharata Jire Mukunda Sevaipo Ayoyikam Spriha Ina. Meaning, this verily is what the gods sing. What blessed deeds have these been done that they have achieved birth in Bharata as human being, fit for worship of Mukunda, the indwelling God who seems to be pleased with them, who also eagerly desire the same. It may seem a little fanatical, but you look at that. Go to the world history and world culture. Every country has its own specialization. Some, Swamiji says, some are good in politics, some are good in science, technology. This. But India's specialty is its spirituality. And as a result, how many saints and sages have been produced in India? And actually, India is poor in one sense. That's a good thing. Because spirituality and wealth does not go side by side. Is it not? But all the Western idea will be, you are spiritual, how wealthy you are. And that is the way the Christians used to go and convert our Hindus, even they do it now. What your God can give? See, you cannot get food, you cannot get shelter, you don't have any education, you have no clothing, what my God can give? Christ, see, you take the name of Christ, see, you become John, Jacob, you become Mary, you become, see, you get an English name, you get an English stature, then you get a job, you get all this wealth. So people get converted. Even the children, is a pathetic story. One bus full of children taken by Catholic schools, And they say, in the middle, they are going for a picnic. And all these children, suddenly the bus does not move. And the mechanic and the driver said, oh, the bus has stopped. Then the father comes, okay, you all call upon God, in your own tradition. Go on calling upon God and see, let the driver start and let this car start. Nothing happening. And call, these children are innocent, they are calling upon their Krishna, Rama, these, that, nothing happening. Then the father comes back again. Okay, let us all chant the name of Christ and then get that, pray to that Christ. And so what comes now? Say, chant, and he leads that chanting. And the driver goes and starts running. Car has started. So, who is powerful? Your God or this God? So, you become a Christian then. So, this is the way, giving some material thing. Even today it is going on. I'm not exaggerating anything. If you go to, the stories are so real. Some of the friends told me. Even our Ramakrishna Mission sadhus, sometimes they watch things like that and they say that what is. That is the way they try to convert into Christianity. So, as a result, see, it's not the point. Point is that human potentiality is there, and it is the blessed India is that they hold on to God. Property, wealth, prosperity and spirituality can go together. Of course, very special case. In the Bhagavad Gita also said that there may be Kibale, Suchinam, Srimatangehe, Yoga Bhrastavijayate. Suchi, Srimanta means they are not that hard sick, they are very peaceful family, wealth and prosperity. Sri wealth is there. And also, but that may be, but God realization and that does not go together. Then Buddha would have realized God when he was a prince. Because he was a prince and he has the heart, same Buddha. So why he has to give up everything and be a beggar and a street beggar, homeless guy, and then have to cry and weep and pray or meditate on God? Why Ramakrishna had to do 12 years of intense spiritual practice, forgetting everything? Go, all the saints of India, why they leave every hut and home and go to the Himalayas, in the cave, in austerity and doing all these things and then searching for God and God. Of course, that has made also India always ignoring about the material things, which are the basic needs of life. That is bad. Samaji criticized that. But that is not for everyone. But for God realization, you have to be homeless. Meaning, mentally, that you have nothing except in God. But that's an extreme point. But it does not mean, because you have no wealth, means you are not spiritual. That concept is totally wrong. Wealth it can be there, but it is not the standard. That's why India has produced thousands and thousands of saints and seers. Even in every village you go, you can find one saint-like person, saint-like person. People respect, people remember them. So that's why Bharatvarsha is so great. And Swamiji in the 1983 first lecture in the Parliament of Religions, how he has brought out India. Which India he talked about? My heart fills with joy unspeakable to stand in the response of this cordial welcome which you have given to me. Then what he said, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. In the name of all the ancient religion, mother of all religions. Yes, the courage to say mother of all religions. I thank you in the name of millions and millions of saints and seers, monks, monastics and all this spiritual talk. That is his point of presentation. That is India. And he's fostered and nurtured all the religions in their bosom. They came with a sword in hand and India has absorbed them in their bosom. They've come to conquer and they're conquered by the love of India, embracing them into their spiritual fold. Christianity came. First Christian church is there, isn't it? Jewish people, Zoroastrian people, when all persecuted, and they took shelter in India, and India embraced them and give them. That's why it is a ground of all spiritual diversity. So it is, that's why there's so much glorification of that country, and not as a political India. I understand. He is not talking about the political India, but the spiritual India. Swamiji gave that in this country, if there is a gold rush, people will run and forget their life to get little gold. But in India, what is the speciality? If they know that there is a sadhu in the high altitude of Himalayas, thousands of people will be flocking there, irrespective of anything. Whether they die, whether they leave, is not a question. They will run there. So you can see the where the heartbeat is there. Heartbeat of India is in spirituality. Now, the second verse, I am reading the translation, because if we go to the verse, then I get stuck. So, better than winging this heaven for a kalpo, a few million years, and then being reborn on earth on exhaustion of the merit of the merit capital, is the winning of a birth and living in Bharata for kshana, means for a moment. For a moment. One kshana. For their wise people dedicate the actions done in their brief mortal life to Hari and attain the state of fearlessness at his feet. So why India is great? You can live with the wise people. Wise people, not all are wise. But there are wise people whose association for a moment can give you wisdom and liberation. Shanamiha sajjana sangati reka bhavati bhavarnava tarane nauka. Shanamiha sajjana sangati reka. One moment's touch with a shana, even if you have the holy company. Sajjana sangati. And that can protect you from all evils of life and give you liberation. So those types of people are not lacking any time. Even today you go, you will find realized soul. But to find out, it's difficult. Because our eyes are not clear. How do I understand if I see a man of realization? How do I understand? He does not...
I have to be one.
And we may be deluded also. Those who speak well, those who have the vocabulary and personality and charisma, we may think they are realized soul. Yes, maybe they are realized soul. But really, who is spiritual person, how do I understand? So now we may be deluded, we may be misunderstood, we may be cheated. And in this country, so much cheating is going on in the name of religion. Wherever you go, you give $1,000 and you get spirituality. That's good. Why not? I tell you one story. I told you before, I don't remember. There was one lady used to come to my class in the Upanishad. Suddenly, she stopped coming. So I inquired why she is not coming, where did she go? And one of her friends, she said that, she has gone to one retreat. She is planning to go to a retreat for 15 days or 21 days like that. So, I was, where is that? Well, some place they mentioned, I am not interested, just to inquire about that person. And she said that, she is going, but she is going, I mean, what is the special teaching they are getting? We are talking about Upanishad. And what else is? It's not here, they will get there. I said, no. There is a seminar or a conference or a retreat going on. The retreat fee is, before you go, you deposit $5,000. Only the retreat fee. And then you have your own hotel and your own other expenses, personal. No, then you're personal. Only for attending that retreat, $5,000. And I just, what is that? What they're expecting there? No, they said that then they will get samadhi.
Oh,
wow. $5,000 samadhi? Wow. Then really, I'm telling you a story. It is not in the money. I did not create. Exactly what happened in the life. Then she, after 15 days gone, 21 days gone, then I'm not seeing her because I thought she has attained Brahma Gyana. So, she does not need to come to this class anymore. Then I inquired, but she, I told her friend, could you inquire actually what? She got something, otherwise all are not fools to give $5,000. And then intelligent people, and the house retreat hall was full. So maybe 200 people were there, retreat center. And that person is giving the spiritual samadhi by $5,000. So giving some training and probably some technique. In this country they call it technique. What is the technique? I don't agree. That's why no one comes to Vedanta. It is so simple, we don't ask for techniques. We don't get for too much money. And all these things so simple, cheap. So nobody comes for cheap things. So valuable things people go with paying money and getting something special. Then he said that, then I inquired. And ultimately I was frustrated to know. And to her frustration also. So she didn't get that samadhi. He said, what's the matter? In this country, they say money back guarantee. No. So, guarantee money back should be there. Did he not? It's not that they give you the money back. If it does not work in your advertisement, don't you see in the television advertisement? Money back guarantee. If it does not work, take your money back. And they said, no, she asked, why I didn't get the samadhi? And they were, what about the others? Well, I do not know what about the others. But she was asking, what's the problem? Then the teacher said that, I gave you the techniques and I gave you everything, but you are not fit. What can I do? To learn this word that I am not fit, you give $5,000. And then you go with enthusiasm and you feel that you are getting something special. And we are talking free of cost. 1 hour every day. No one comes there to listen to you. So that is the point. No, spirituality is not so cheap. But where genuine spirituality is to be found, very rare. But who will understand? No. We get deluded by that outward. When crowd moves, we also move. But there is crowd, then you see other people who never come. And when Ramakrishna, Keshav Sen started publishing in the newspaper, and then Calcutta Babus started coming to Dakshineshwar. And Thakur used to say, as if they have come to see some animal in the zoo. How is this Paramahansa zoo in the cage, no? How he looks. He has a horn, or he has two long ears, or what has happened? Tail, or what is that? So they come out for curiosity, fulfilling the curiosity, no? So real genuine spirituality is very difficult, but that is still there, vibrant in India, no? So it says that the dedicated action done in their brief mortal life to hurry and attain the state of fearlessness at his feet. So then the next verse says, with the aid of whatever bit of good merits that remain at the end of our enjoyment of life in this heaven, let us get birth endowed with the remembrance of hurry on the continent of Ajana. What is it? What is that? Ajanave. Tena Ajanave. What is Ajanave? Means the previous name of Bharat. This Bharatvarsha or India, its previous name was Ajanave. Why it was named, God knows. As the name of the place changed, according to Calcutta became Kolkata in communist government. The communist government has done big job. What their big job? They have changed the name of Calcutta to Kolkata. That is their greatest achievement of communist movement. 40 years of ruling over the country, they have done this. Kolkata. So, for Hari ensures happiness and welfare of all who are devoted to him. So here we get the idea that life on earth is far superior to life in heaven. He is giving this idea that even if you may do some meritorious act, you go to heaven. But Indian spirituality teaches you that you exhaust your good karma and after that you come back. And then you do again your good karma to go to there. And you one day you feel tired. What is the use of going and coming back? Going and coming back? So what am I to do now? Can I do such work where I can be totally freed from all bondage? That is the thing. Then that wisdom comes. So the Upanishad had blasted our belief in heaven. They say that only fools do rituals here in order to go to heaven. You exhaust your energy unnecessarily. In this life you can get the eternal freedom instead of your using that in for going to heaven after death. That is not permanent. But Christian heaven is permanent. That is in that way they are happy. They can go to heaven, also there is danger. You can go to eternal hell also. So which direction? That's why they are so fearful to go to the priests are so powerful there. And then Muslims also. They can send you to Dozak. Dozak means Narak. Hell. That the priests have the power to send you this side or that side. Behest on this. But in Hinduism there is no mediator like that. Your karma, you go to heaven. Your bad karma, you go that way. You did certain bad karma, 5 years jail. You did longer work, 10 years jail. There's a hell, longer hell, bad hell, good hell, German hell, Indian hell. No one wants to go to German hell because that is very rigorous. But Indian hell is good because electricity does not work. They put you into saw machine does not start. So the Upanishad says that they say that only fools do rituals here in order to go to heaven. People try to observe various rituals and thereby try to go to heaven. That's why Shankara, always in the Shankara Bhashya, always talks about rituals can lead you to this path. And Upanishad also says that is a plava. Plava means a float. Unstable float. You cannot hold that and desire to cross the ocean. It itself is unstable. You should get a ship or a boat, strong boat. And that's your nishkama karma, boat. Sakama karma can take you to certain distance, but it is unstable. It can plavahiyete. In the Kathopanishad it is there. Plavahiyete adriha. It is not driha. It is not firm. Adriha. I forgot. Anyhow. That is the bad thing of old age. But even the gods and goddesses want to be born as human beings while we try to go to heaven. And gods and goddesses want to be born because they are bored there. How many days you will be singing, dancing on this? Does it not become bored? Every day good food. How many days you like to food? How much you can eat? One day, 2 days are good. 1 month is good. Every day ice cream, every day ice cream. And then the ice cream is useless for us. So heaven becomes the monotony. That's why that is the fault of the sensitive joys. Heaven is nothing but more sensitive experience. That's the conception of every person in every religion. What, I cannot get it here easily? I can get it free. You have to work hard to earn money, to have some fun. But there you don't get to do anything, you get the fun free. That is the sarga. Also, sarga also means which moves on. Sarga means it's not permanent. Sarga, actually, if you go to the root of the Sanskrit word sarga, that which changes, moves on. Sarga. Everyone is here in the world, in this life. The Upanishad says, we are the natural, we are of the nature of Brahman. Tattvamasi, says the Chandogya Upanishad, you are that divine. You are not finite, you are infinite. Many passages are to be found in the Upanishad where the dignity of human being is expressed and expounded. But you forget all that. In the Bhagavatam too, this idea comes once again. It says that this earth is everything. We can do everything here. We can realize our true nature here. Therefore, the word iha, here, comes again and again in our all the Upanishads and Bhagavatam and the Gita. Iha, on this very earth, in this very life, you have conquered. You have conquered the heaven even. Whose mind is stable in that oneness, uniqueness. You on this very earth, you can achieve the highest. You can achieve the supreme realization of the divine. Shuka achieved it here. And we can also achieve it. In this way, this beautiful idea of the sacredness of the human personality is extolled again and again. And then he is saying, okay, let us see. Today, modern biologists speak of the human uniqueness. Earlier, they repudiated the idea of human uniqueness suggested by Christian theology that man is a special creation of God. Darwin and other scientists simply repudiated that theory. They talked about the process of evolution. But the uniqueness of man has to be recognized. Man can understand the world and can control it. In man, there is a profound focus, the focus of the self, the capital self. No animal has that focus. In his Brahma Sutra Bhasya, Shankaracharya describes the human nature as Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta. You are the infinite self. You have to realize it. And this human body has the capacity to know the world and the Atman as well. This is the uniqueness of the human being. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, you have this idea, the uniqueness of human being, stressed time and again. Everything can be realized here. Today, Ramakrishna's teachings we find ekhane ekhane gyan sekhane sekhane agyan. Everything is here. Jahach jahach ekhane seyat. Everything is here and that is knowledge. Everything is there, that is ignorance. Therefore, iha is a word full of meaning. This human situation must be studied and possibilities realized. Physical science has studied nature's possibilities and nuclear energy is the discovery of the forces hidden in nature. But still there are also infinite possibilities hidden in every human being, that is Vedanta coming from the Upanishad, and this is what we have to understand today. Okay? And also this is the eternal values, what is called the harmony of different views of reality. How many views about God? But there is a harmony behind that. That is also mentioned in the sixth skanda of the Bhagavatam. So he is taking out of the whole skanda, hundreds and thousands of verses, one or two some selected. Yeah, what he thinks that it is will be corroborated in our life. He says, this verse on page 28, then in the sixth skanda of the Bhagavatam, there is a verse which expresses idea of harmony of different views of the supreme reality that Sri Ramakrishna emphasized in our time. In the morning he said matam and taktvam. So these are the matam What is that? Astiti nastiti cha vastu nishthayo ekasthayor bhinno viruddha dharmayo avekshitam kinchana yoga sankhayo samam param hi anukulam brihat. Among the different and contradictory views of the one unlimited truth that are particularly affirmed in the systems like Sankha and Yoga, that it is not, that it has different characteristics, such as personal or impersonal, there is no contradiction in reality, for they all refer to and are established in one and the same infinite supreme reality only. That is the essential message of the Upanishad, no? Ekam Sat, like that. Now he talks about the Prahlada story. Some few verses as mentioned in the Prahlada story. It goes 5 verses for 1, 2, 3, 4. No. 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 verses. So, are you tired or are you still? Go on. What is the time?
9:15.
9:15 is our time or no? When you started?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock we started.
8 o'clock. 9:15. 1 hour 15 minutes.
We can continue tomorrow.
Tomorrow we can continue. So you can read a little bit. Of course, there is no time when you will read. Today already 9. So, you see, let us have a cursory view of the book. See, now he is talking about the Prahlada story. There are 5 verses. Then you see Gajendra Moksha. That is only 2 verses. There is Ocean Charming. There is 1 verse. Mahabali story. 1 verse. Jajati story. The King Jajati. 2 verses. Krishna Brata, the glory of the human being. Swamiji used to talk about the human glory all the time. Swami Ranganathanandaji's beauty is that he used to always emphasize the dignity of human soul, the potentiality of human energy, how it can be manifested. Human excellence. He used to talk about human excellence, human potentiality, profound divine truth that can be manifested in all facets. So, that is the glory of human being, that will be few verses. Krishna praises the tree.
This is something I've never heard of.
Yeah, this is from this chapter. No, this is 10th chapter. So, then Gopika Gita. The Gita. Gopika Gita is a very powerful statement. We thought that the gopis are illiterate people. Their love is like human love as it were. That these verses will give you the... I quoted that verse from the very beginning. Page 43, I quoted these 2 verses already. On the page 43, you find that you are not the mere child of the Jodhu clan. You are the inner antaratmudrik. You are the indweller. You see the inner truth of all. And your words are like this nectar. Then uniqueness of human form. No, the Krishna eve of immanent departure, that is the story. Before his departure, he gave this lesson to Uddhava. So Uddhava Sangbad, and that is even a separate book. And you can read that, that is by Madhavananda Maharaj translated, and other, maybe other writers also. And the last message, this is called the last message of Krishna, because Krishna is planning to depart from the world. And that's why Uddhava, who was a very devoted to Krishna, he said, how can I survive without you? Oh Lord, please take me. When you are leaving the body, also take me with you. Then he said, No. You stay in the world. I forgot the verses. He said that, that's the very beautiful verse. Tantu sarvan parityajya Deham Svajana Bandhusu. You, after my departure, You give up your own association with your friends and family and everything. Then you get totally absorbed in my thought and move around the world. Samadrik Vicharashagam, having the eye of equanimity in your views, go on and preaching this message of oneness with your equanimity of vision. Go. That was his message. He didn't allow him to die or give up the physical body because he has his purpose of life is done. Thakur said that some people, when they dig a well, the spade and the basket and all these equipments, normally after you are done, what do? You throw away. But sometimes some people keep it so that at least someone may be in need of this thing. So Uddhava, you have no need, but you will have to teach this message, go with equanimity in vision. That's why it is a very beautiful and this teaching there in Uddhava Sambhav. And now that is the story of the Avadhuta. As you know, Avadhuta had so many gurus in that story. And here he has got the last verse, Avadhuta on page 53. And then he concluded with that. That is Gyanu and Bhakti. It is Gyanu Mishra Bhakti, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad. Conclusive verse on page 56. So these are few verses. We may not do justice tomorrow, but we can do that if we want to read, skip only the verse.
Gopika Gita.
Yeah, we'll read that. But Gopika Gita is a big thing. If we enter into it, it will take its own time. But it is good, very interesting. You can read in this big book, you can find the 10th chapter. Because when Krishna and the gopis, they met together, and after the playing of the flute in the last chapter.
But yeah.
No, we can do that. That's no problem.
That's fine.
And everything in the world, this Bhagavat is madhu. It is sweetness. Any part you take, it has its own.
Why is he praising the trees?
See the story there.
Standing. I haven't read this.
No.
Singing, whatever. We can sing. Voice of freedom. So it talks about a lot of names. God is one, Atma, Ishita, Brahman, personal, impersonal God. So I could not understand the difference between so many.
Personal God means when you worship O Rama, O Krishna, O Kali, O Durga. This is your personalizing. But this personalizing is not your fantasy. God also appears to the devotee according to the need of the devotee. As mother prepares soup and strong food, which is a strong boy can digest, a weak boy can digest, that type of food. So God appears to the disciple or devotee in the which way the devotee wants to worship. So that's why he becomes personal. Impersonal, some people say, I can't meditate God in person. Christianity and our in India, there is the, what do you call the movement, in Brahmo movement, they used to think of God as impersonal. No? Christianity, Islam, and in Buddhism also, they have no form thing. But which branch of Buddhism you are talking? You go to Tibetan Buddhism, it's full of forms and worship, more than Hinduism. So, but in if you go to the what you call Mahayana, or what you call?
Mahayana.
No, Mahayana is those who worship the forms.
Hinayana,
but another good name is there. Anyhow, so they think that there is no form. God, don't think in that way. So, that someone thinks God as impersonal. That appeals to their mind, but they cannot bring the mind into the concentrated idea of Rama, Krishna, Kali, Durga, Shiva, or Christ, Buddha, nothing like that. So that is the personal and that is the impersonal. So God can be viewed, as I gave the example yesterday, the sun, that absolute sun, impersonal, big sun. But when you stand on the ground, you see the sun. This is personal. But you are viewing the same sun, is it not? But you are saying it is limited. Who gives light? Who gives heat? In cold time, you feel so, you can praise sun so much. Oh, today after so many days, we are getting little heat. Sun is come up, no? So it is soothing to the heart. But some people say, no, how can the sun be this little? He should be only infinite. Okay? That's different according to the mental condition and your flight of attainment. You can choose this or choose that, or your teacher can choose for you.
Ishta.
Ishta means chosen idea. Ishta. Ish means to wish, to desire. Who is my desired deity? Whom I like? There are thousands of forms of Hindu gods and goddesses. So I like Mother Kali. Which Mother Kali you like? I like Dakshineshwar Mother Kali. That's one form. There are 9 forms of mother. Terrible form, benign form. Same mother, you know, in our earthly mother. Sometimes mother becomes little like a fire. You have to do it. Sometimes sweet, my dear, calm. So, same mother. Shows their different forms. So, the divine mother also. Whatever you like, you select that mother aspect. Mother is only one mother. But that aspect of mother, it appeals to your mind. So, you worship that. Now, Mother Sarada, we worship. Very kind, very benign. So compassionate, we all go to her. She said, my child, you do anything you like. Someone said, mother, I have done such nasty things, I cannot tell you. I have done such bad things. Then mother said, my boy, why do you think about that? If the child soils his cloth, it is whose duty to clean that? I am your mother, I will take care. See, we know that. So he said, ma. Because she does not look at our faults. But some mother said, hey, you did it, go, clean. But you, that mother is also mother. So some may like that, some may like this. So that's a different aspects of mother we worship. But we are worshipping one God, one different facets. Nishta is this, what I choose or what appeals to my heart, that aspect of God. Ishta Devata. Okay. So, shall we sing quickly?